Martin Radio in Perth.
Well, a lot of people are back at work today after the Christmas break, but a lot of people start back next week. And, you know, you get to a different frame of mind, don't you, when you have a break from your daily commitments and your routine. Now, sometimes people push themselves too hard. I think most people say to themselves, gosh, I'm tired. I have to get up so early in the morning. But are we, in fact, causing burnout? Is it a choice that we actually make? Well, Mr. Craig Johns is joining us right now. He's a culture and workplace leadership expert. Are you burnt out, are you, John? Or Craig?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Yeah. Do you ever get feelings of being burnt out?
Look, you know, I've worked some long hours over my time and been quite fatigued and drained. I've only really achieved burnout once, and that is being a parent. It's one of those things where, you know, look, I've done Ironman triathlons, which is a lot of training, and I can tell you now the fatigue of that is nothing compared to the fatigue you get of sleep deprivation. And it's probably one of the, you know, few times in life where you probably, you know, you can't really avoid it, so to speak, if you're working full time and you're trying to keep up just because of that sleep deprivation. And, you know, in the end, it's a choice. We decide to have a kid, and yeah, it's one of the challenges we have to face.
Yep, can turn your life upside down, that is for sure. But there's a lot of other reasons, I guess. And, you know, going back, we were always told the harder we work, the more successful we will be. But there are other intrusions in our life that take up our time these days.
Yeah, definitely. Look, stress is multiplying and compounding in a way. So the stress of work or the stress of home, the stress of exercise, etc., all layers up and sort of combines together. And, you know, we do have a lot of extra things. We tend to, you know, we get caught up on Netflix series or we tend to scroll on our social media, which means our brain is continuously moving all the time, or we're going to bed later in the night. So, you know, we make those decisions, you know, especially when we watch like Netflix, etc., or we stay up watching our social media or even socializing. We make those choices, and it's about being disciplined, because in the end, a lot of the time burnout starts with ourselves, not always, because there are catastrophic events or there are things that might disrupt us mentally that causes burnout to occur a bit faster. But in most cases, it's for incremental steps of sleep deprivation. It is not exercising enough. It is not eating healthy. And it is not allowing your brain to kind of slow down and relax.
Yeah. Are the symptoms of burnout very obvious?
Not always. You know, I think sometimes we can kind of notice things, but they creep up on us, and our body keeps adapting all the time. So when it comes to mental fatigue, things creep up on us. Now, when it starts going more into workplace burnout, then if it is something there, it's been triggered by someone else in the organization around the way they might be treating you, then you might start to feel things. But a lot of the times it takes someone else to notice that you have a change in behavior, you know, that you are looking tired or that you're starting to become more cynical or negative about things. You can recognize, you know, even for someone like me who knows lots about it, is working with people on it, you can kind of feel things happening. But until someone says something, a lot of the time you don't really take too much notice of it. And that's the challenge. And we just got to really look after ourselves and be quite proactive.
It would be life-changing, because if it's not acknowledged, where do we head toward?
Look, the role of, you know, organizations and leaders or even partners in our relationships at home, we do place a role around, you know, just, I suppose, being aware of our people around us and just noticing subtle changes. You know, okay, there's a slight change in behavior here, or this person is looking a lot more tired. So we do have a responsibility to say, hey, look, you know, I just noticed you're looking a little tired there. You know, is everything okay? Or, hey, you know, I noticed that you found that a little bit challenging the other day, or, you know, think you seem a bit down. You know, do you want to have a conversation? So it's not about coming straight up in front and telling them, hey, look, there's a problem here. It is around, you know, just giving the opportunity to say, hey, look, I'm noticing something. Are you feeling something? Or, you know, how can I help you know, those words there, how can I help, can go a long way when it comes to both relationships, friendships, and most importantly in the workplace as well.
But if the person doesn't take grip of the situation, because it is up to them to start making changes, would it lead to a health breakdown or a mental breakdown? Could it get that serious?
Of course it can, you know, if it's left alone, because our brains, you know, for whatever reason, and a lot of, you know, they talk about it coming from it being a survival mechanism, that we tend to look towards the negative. So some of the research suggests up to 90% of people have a negative thought bias. So that means that more than 50% of the time, our brain is thinking negatively. We have negative thoughts. But what's interesting, right, is that we've all, that I think 90% of humans have a positive speaking bias. So that means they will speak more in positive tones. So sometimes it's a little bit hard to pick it up on people, you know, and the more tired you get, the more sleep deprivation you have, when the brain is getting a little bit fried, then you tend to fall more into the negative, cynical side of things.
Yeah.
You know, the neurochemistry of the brain starts to change. So it can be a little bit difficult.
Well, I'm only assuming, and I shouldn't probably do that, but today's lifestyle with technology, things you've got to be aware of, scamming, you know, the instances, that sort of thing, getting ahead in the workplace, making sure you've got enough to purchase a home, the financial situation that's going on out there, it all leads to us having to think to ourselves, okay, we just have to work through this, I have to work harder. So the other obvious areas that you're saying taking up our time are probably the easiest ways to start to cut back and to relax and enjoy life.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, those easy decisions, well, they're not easy, right? It sounds easy. It sounds easy to go, look, I'm going to rest a bit while it's working. I'm not going to watch TV. I'm going to eat more fruit. It's easier said than done. And, you know, we're creatures of habit, and it's hard to really break those habits and form new ones. Something that will help people is, you know, thinking about positive change rather than trying to, you know, a lot of the reason why New Year's resolutions don't work is people focus on trying to remove something or focus on overcoming a negative thing. If you can focus on adding value to your life or focusing on something more positive in a goal or a decision you're making, it's a little bit easier to actually attain it and be able to keep it up for the long term.
Yes, I suppose we've got to reflect when we move on in life, reflect on earlier days of our lives, our younger years, not children, but, you know, teenagers, 20-year-olds, that sort of thing. What were the things that we did enjoy? And I don't mean saying staying out at nightclubs until 4 a.m. You know, there were other things that gave us happiness, I suppose, and joy. We probably, it wouldn't hurt to go back to thinking, what made me feel good? Was it a company? Was it walking along the beach in the morning? Was it going down to the river and go sailing or go crabbing or something like that? I mean, that's a thing in the past, though, isn't it? What do you suggest people look at doing?
Yeah, great suggestions. I love that. Look, a lot of the time people get caught up in, you know, we were talking about technology before, they get caught up in things around technology because it's creating a hormone release, which is kind of the happy hormones, etc.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to things like games or social media or even TV, it's something that you kind of have to keep going with. Whereas if you can get something like exercise or being out in nature where it starts to trigger those hormones of dopamine and etc., then it actually is longer lasting.
Yeah,
the effect of it. So we're able to stay in a happy mode long term. So we don't need to keep going back to something. And that's why people get addicted on things like alcohol and drugs, etc., because there's a short-term hit to the hormones and they've got to come back to it and keep coming back to it and keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can get, I always talk about, you know, sometimes people that get into things like triathlon or marathon running, they have an addiction, but at least it's a healthy one.
Yeah, there are healthy addictions, that's for sure. The prospect of a 4-day working week's been thrown around a lot. Do you think that might make a difference?
It does. It will for some people. You know, in the end, it's not less working hours. It's not more money that generally stimulates people. It is people having challenges that they enjoy in their work. And that's the key to keeping people motivated long term. So we need to take that into consideration first. Do they actually have a job they enjoy? Are they motivated by it? Is it relating to their purpose? If we take in regards to reducing hours and giving someone an extra day a week, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be more energized. It might mean they spend more time partying. It might they spend more time on their phones or watching Netflix. So they're maybe not even helping it in a way. And we also need to, something that's not really talked about much when they look at reducing to four-day work weeks is those high performers already. And so if someone is already super high, like has really, really high productivity and performance on 5 days a week, if you reduce it to four, their productivity level over the 4 days is going to reduce compared to the five. They're not going to be able to keep up.
No,
like they're not going to complete what they did over 5 days and four. It's not practical. It's not going to work. So in some ways, those high performers and high productivity people actually will struggle on a 4 day work week.
Yeah.
And they may miss out because if people are getting measured in the workplace based on their productivity and performance, then those who may have just kind of cruised through the week may actually get a real good hit and benefit during this phase.
Yeah.
So it can work. It depends on the organization, the industry, and what's required in that workplace.
Yeah, true.
The one area I have heard some schools talking about going to 4 day work week, I think they need to be very cautious of that just because of we need to look at the ecosystem of how children are looked after and things like that. So if parents are still working 5 days a week and kids are only working four, that adds a lot more stress to some of those families. So we have to think of the bigger picture when we consider changes to the way we work or the way children go to school, etc., because it's much bigger than just the simple act of working or act of going to school.
Yeah, the reality is we've got so many choices for entertainment and work choices and, you know, to fill our days and weekends that these days we really have to be very strong about it because it is taking over our thinking. There's no two ways about it.
100%. And it's interesting, I was talking about this the other day. In a world that's craving less, you know, we want less of this and less of that, we keep taking on more. You know, there's more options and we feel like we need to do more in this world. I don't know what it is, why people feel like they need to achieve more, take on more, just because there are more options than maybe what we had when we were younger, etc.
Yep.
But, you know, the key is we can't do everything in life, and it's just a matter of going, okay, what do I enjoy? Let's focus on those, and let's do them really well, and then we might be fulfilled because we're achieving something versus trying to take on the whole world, which is impossible.
Yeah, great advice. You're absolutely right, Craig, and I think people do push themselves. You see it all the time. They feel they have to do it. They have to be an achiever. They, you know, the choice that they make in their career when they're younger, go to university, is that the right choice for them these days? And there's this pressure to get their home and to get, you know, a family going, but like you said, having children is probably one of the biggest time things that are taking up in your life.
Yeah, but it's a wonderful time.
Oh, it is.
Well,
yeah,
you know, being able to create that legacy for the future, I think that's important.
That's good.
Yeah, but look, you know, in the end, we need to look after ourselves. And when it comes to, you know, we're talking about workplace burnouts and things like that, it's the responsibility of the individual employee and also the employer, you know, because we know that people, you know, some people will work harder, some people will push themselves a bit more. It is it's responsibility on both sides to take care of the people around them.
Good point.
And not just to leave it up to the individual to take care of themselves. Or turn a blind eye to it in the organization.
Very good point. And thank you very much for sharing all that information with us, Craig.
You're welcome.
Thank you. That was Mr. Craig Johns, workplace culture and leadership expert.